Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Fathers, we bow down. We're just so grateful, Lord, that we can come to you, that you love us, that you know all things, and you know everything about us. You know our thoughts even before we think them. You see our uprising and our down sitting. There's nothing apart from you that we have at all or could ever be. And yet, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. Thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the time to receive it and then the time to respond to it. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look at this great psalm. I always say that, I guess, but they're so great. And this Psalm 139 is kind of a favorite of many. And it is so complete and is so awesome. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 139 today, I don't know how many of you have ever taken a systematic course in theology, but it was one of my least favorite. I love the Lord and I love how awesome he is, but I don't particularly, I'm not fond of man trying to describe it because it is always so much less than what he is. So if you really want a systematic study in theology, just read Psalm 139. Psalm 139, it's so great. We have three different aspects, actually four aspects of his characteristics. We start out with his omniscience and then his omnipresence and then his omnipotence and then we end up with his sovereignty. And so if we can grasp a little of this, we really see, you know, every facet we look at from God, from the standpoint, whether it's his love or creation or whatever it is, it's always so much greater than we can ever even grasp. So we just see a little bit of it. But if we can see a little bit of it, we understand a little bit more of the magnitude of who he is and who we are not. Although we are so special, we're the only thing created that's created in his image. I really believe the greatest creation, top of the creative list that God did is man. And you may argue with that if you want, but what else has been created in his image? Who did he speak to during creation? He didn't speak to any animals, really. Well, he may have in a sense, but not in a communication back and forth, but it's to man. And so as we look at this psalm, we want to just look at it in the kind of sections. The first six verses are about his omniscience, his all-knowing, and then the next six verses are about his omnipresence. He's present everywhere. And then the third is the omnipotence. He's all-powerful. And then we'll look at the end of his sovereignty a little bit, and then we'll close with a prayer. That's this psalm. So I'm going to stand and read it. You don't have to stand and listen if you want, but if you want to read it along with me, that is great. We'll take our time in reading it. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted in all my way. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the inward part, the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the Phades fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we say amen to that. Well, you've just read it, and we could read it 100 times, and the 101st time we would still see things we didn't see the first 100 times we read it. But it begins, of course, with, O Lord, and we're going to be looking at his all-knowing here in these 6 verses, as I mentioned. O Lord, what? You have searched me. You have searched me and known me. Now, when God searches me and he says he's known me, what does that mean? It means that he searched me and he knows me. He knows everything about me. I like what Gail Irwin said. He said, the only thing I ever really wonder about God is that why in the world did he love me? Why in the world does he love me? Why in the world would he choose me? Because I don't even, the more I know about myself, the less I like myself. I mean, it is just unlovable, but it's not me, it is him, isn't it? He has searched me and known me. He knows my sitting down and my rising up. How many times a day do you do that? Well, I don't know, but I don't even keep track of them. But he knows. He knows every single one of them. And he understands my thought afar off. And I think what that means, he understands my thought before my thought. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. And I can't even comprehend that, because it seems to me like when I start thinking a thought, that's the kind of the beginning of the process. But he already knows. He can't learn anything. He knows everything about me. He comprehends my path and my lying down. And I'm doing more of that lately. I started off as a kid having to take naps, hated them. Now I find myself loving naps. But he knows my path, and he knows my lying down, and he's acquainted with all my ways. He knows how much I'm taking naps, of course. For there is not a word on my tongue. Wow. But behold, you know it altogether. Now, as I think that through a little bit, it's much more significant than just the word on my tongue. It's what's in my heart behind the word? What are my thoughts behind the word? Am I looking at somebody saying, oh, I so respect you and love you, and in my heart I'm thinking, you know, I really have a difficult time with you. I really don't even like to be around you. But here my words are coming out saying something else. Maybe I'm double-minded or whatever. But he says, there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Altogether, he knows. He knows. You have hedged me. You have protected me. Behind and before. I just wonder how aware are we of his protection around us. We have evil ones coming at us 24/7, not resting. And I can almost guarantee you I was not doing anything to resist those evil ones for about 7 hours last night, because I was asleep. And when I'm asleep, I'm not doing anything as far as I can tell. But he is there, isn't he? He's watching over us. We'll see that in just a minute here, restated again. But you're acquainted in all my ways. You hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Can you imagine he's got his hand on you all the time? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can agree with that statement. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. So here are the six verses, all-knowing God. The next verses are, he's present everywhere. Question, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Answer, or some answer, some of the answer, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So as high as I can go, you are there. As low as I can go, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, in other words, just think in terms of maybe getting on a spaceship or whatever and go way as far as you can go. Just go way, 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 way. He's still there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, or go down into the Mariana Trench, if you could, you can't, but 7 miles deep, he'd be there. Even there, verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me. Now, are you sensing his leading? Are you following his leading? Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me, shall sustain me, shall support me, shall protect me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. I think about the infrared and what we call night goggles, or what we call military has them. And we've got a friend over at Chino Hills. He's in the business of a company that specializes in state-of-the-art night vision stuff, primarily for the military, but it's got some commercial uses too. But it's so amazing, you put those goggles on, you can see really, really well in the dark. Well, God doesn't need goggles. And God sees perfectly. So, you know, at times in our lives, maybe when we were kids, maybe darkness scared us. Maybe it still scares you. Well, just know that God sees. God knows. And it's not darkness to him. But as the night shines in the day, the darkness and the light are what? Both alike to you. Isn't that amazing? Both alike to you. And then we get into his power. For you formed my inward part. Wow. Now, I don't know which you can see better his power, when you go down microscopically or when you go out telescopically, so to speak. When you look out into space, which is billions of light years away, and you can't even grasp that, we can't grasp it going the other way either, can we? Because we see, where did we begin? When did conception occur? Well, basically, in a sense, when the first cell of you, the first cell of me, was really kind of two half cells coming together. And it was so tiny that there's no visibility to it, and yet we were all there. We were all there. So we see, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Now, when we think about being created in his image, and our first 9 months, basically, or thereabouts, is in our mother's womb. What an unbelievable thing that is, isn't it? And it just makes me sick when I think of what we are doing to those in the mother's womb. And God hates that. He hated the giving of the children over to Molech, to sacrificing the children, and how we are doing that. And I don't know if any of you took the time or wasted the time to see the debate on Thursday night, but I mean, we are so far in this nation of embracing abortion as one of our rights. And, you know, we're going to run on that. You see more and more candidates, they're campaigning on the fact that we want abortion, we want abortion, we don't want any limits on abortion. And that becomes a vote-getter. Isn't that sad commentary on where we are? But we've turned our back on God, no wonder. But you covered me in my mother's womb, and we know the mother's womb is the most dangerous place in the United States to be, in the womb. That's where more are killed than any place else. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Am I? Are you? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Just whatever part of your body you want to focus on, it's unbelievable. But think for a minute of the eye. Just think of the magnificence that is in that creation, and man can't even understand it, let alone create it or create anything. We can't create one cell. But, you know, you have like a million receptacles in each eyeball going to the brain. And if one of those million receptacles is incorrect, especially like, say, a baby being born, you can't see. Now, how would you like to get all those million plugged into the right place? I mean, I can't even envision it. And then even when I got it plugged in, how would it happen? How can you get a physical image that you see through the lens of your eye, how can you get it into your storage in your brain and a library there that library will really basically remember everything you've ever seen, and it categorizes things into, you know, I see a person, or I see a chair, or I see a, not just a chair, I see whether it's straight back or crooked or whatever it is. All of those things, it's just amazing and fearfully and wonderfully made. And that, you know, we could go on and on about the eye, we could go on and on about the ear. I mean, it's just unbelievable, and it's in his image. And then we are trashing the sanctity of life, aren't we? We don't hold life. We aren't even getting a blimp now on the, it's kind of a hot button with the border and all, but we're getting so many murders from illegals intermittent, they don't even raise the needle anymore, right? Because it's just almost every week or every day there's these reported. We just had it reported on the night of the debate about that one, the mother that President Trump called right before, 10 minutes before the debate, as it turned out. But, I mean, yeah, and it didn't even ring a register, Lord, that these things are happening, because it's happening so much we have no concept of the tragedy that's going on. And I'm just talking about illegals. I'm talking about anybody that's murdering, anybody that's aborting, anybody that's taking those lives. We aren't thinking about what we're doing at all. I want to do what I want to do. I don't like you. I just wipe you out, right? That's kind of the mindset in a way. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Then marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Do you ever doubt him? Has he ever let you down? Can you look back and say, well, God really blew that one? He really did. He may have thought that, because he may have thought he was unfair to you and all, but when you look back and see the whole picture, it was absolutely everything he does for you is because he loves you, and he knows what you need when we don't know what we need. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. He already knew everything about us before we were even conceived. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Wow. So, Mr. Scientist, think about that for a minute, of how important science is. It is in a way, but God sees us before it was ever formed. The scientist says, no, I've got to test it, I've got to weigh it, I've got to be able to see it, I've got to be able to duplicate tests on it and so forth. And I mean, I'm not knocking science, I'm just saying this is so beyond that. He sees my substance before it's formed. And in your book, they were all written. From the foundations of the earth, you're already written in the book. The days fashioned for me. So you're wondering how many days you're going to live? He doesn't tell you, because you couldn't handle it if he did. But he knows, it's already written down. Your days were fashioned for me. They were all written, when as yet there were none of them. So he doesn't wait till you're 80 years old and says, well, I think you're going to live to be at least 80. No, he already knew that. Or 60 or 20 or whatever it is. And then we go on in to kind of the sovereignty of God now in verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Yes, think of that. Think of how he thinks of you. Think of how he thinks of me. The precious thoughts. How great is the sum of them? How many are his thoughts toward us? Well, the comparison here is more than the number of the sand. Now, it's amazing that they have estimated the number of sand grains the same as the number of the stars, which really means innumerable because it's 10 to the 25th power. If you try to figure out how big 10 to the 25th power is, it's beyond any of our capacity to even think of that. It's so many in terms of, you put it in our lifetime of 100 years, it means he thinks of you continually. There's not any time he's not thinking of you. If his thoughts of you are more than the sand of the sea, because if you put down 10 to the 25th power of minutes or seconds or anything else, you can't go through that without it's, from our standpoint, being continually. So he's thinking of you continually. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And then this last part of 18, I love, when I awake, I'm still with you. Have you ever thought about that? Here you, let's say you sleep 7 hours or whatever you want to put down, 6 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. But let's say you sleep 7 hours. When I sleep 7 hours, I'm just out of it, right? And then I wake up and I expect to get back in it again, kind of in a way. But he has never left me. And when I awake, he is there. He is there. When I awake, I'm still with you. I am still with you. Never stops. Now, a little interlude here, a little emotional outbreak. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! And you have those thoughts these days? Depart from me, you bloodthirsty men. I thought this was just the end times we had all this wickedness. This is 3,000 years ago when this was written. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. I just checked. You know, I'm losing. I never did have a lot of respect for Google, but I at least had some respect for them. And I still go on Google quite a bit, several times a day, to get an answer to some question I might have. But I went on Google this morning because I was thinking about the states with the Ten Commandments. And I just said, I'll just see what Google says. So I said, entered update on states supporting Ten Commandments. And so what did I get? I got six articles. I think it was six. Under Google. Every single one was, it's so terrible. This is so hideous. How could anybody think that? One was written by a Jew, said it's repulsive to the Jews. They can't stand the Ten Commandments. And I'm going, what? And it's not just the Jewish people. I mean, it's everybody. I mean, but the point was, there wasn't one shred in there of anything that was anything but negative, just hating it. And they ought to do all kinds of things, and they ought to do this, and they ought to do that, and how could they possibly think that? So that's where we are. And I look at that and I go, how sad that is. Now, there was a time when we had Ten Commandments everywhere and we still were sinning. So I don't mean Ten Commandments is going to certainly change everything. But it's at least a step in the right direction to get back to the Lord, right? So pray. Tennessee is coming up. They're going to pray for the whole month of July. We should join them in that. And I think it's a pretty well done deal. I'm not sure if that's passed. It's ready to be passed if it hasn't. Louisiana's already passed. That's already done. They were the first one. And now Oklahoma is getting close, I understand. And Texas, some in Texas really are for it. The lieutenant governor is really for it. He had proposed it already last year. He wanted to be first. But there's somebody in there who's against Abbott and who's against Paxton, and he is holding everything up. And so it died in committee there without getting acted on. He's bringing it up again. But not to go into detail in all the states by state, but I would pray that there would be kind of a responsiveness. We've already seen, you know, like Tennessee coming along, and so there will be others as well. But I think we ought to pray for that. But it's just amazing that that would be so resisted and so hated by the world as something, because the Ten Commandments, they're so basic. And God said, that's what a nation needs. That's what Israel needed. But we don't want to be told what to do, do we? I don't want to be told what to do. If I want to go kill somebody, I want to be able to kill them. If I want to do this, I want to be able to do that. I don't want to have any accountability. So he goes ahead to here. He says, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Well, now remember, this is Old Testament. I don't think this should apply to us exactly. But I think it should apply to us. Do I not hate that which you hate, Lord? It's not the sinner, it's the sin. Do I not hate the sin, Lord? I need to love the sinner, but hate the sin. And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Yes, in a way, but we've got to pray for their souls. Jesus died for them. And if they're blaspheming him, they're so far away, they're probably beyond help. But, you know, that's not our decision to make. I hate them with perfect hatred. Well, I hope not. But I do not love them that hate the Lord. But I'm to love them and I'm to hate the sin. I count them my enemies. Yes, I do in that regard. And then the prayer, all inclusive here, as you know, search me. Search me, O God. He already knows everything about me. I don't have to ask him to search me to get him to search me. I've already searched, right? But it reminds me of any prayer. Once I pray it with my heart, that's what my heart is thinking, and that's what my heart is aware of. I want to be aware of he's searching me because I do a lot of things I hope he doesn't even see. But I know he already knows I'm going to do them. He already sees them. He's already seen them. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Ooh. That's comforting and it's frightening, isn't it? I don't want God to know everything in my heart. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I wish he didn't even know that. But he knows it. And he still loves me. I don't understand that part of it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And this is all for my benefit. He knows all of this. But it makes me think about, I'm asking him to know me. I'm asking him to try me. I'm asking him to search me. Wow, I better get my act cleaned up. See if there's any wicked way in me. And I think that's very complimentary to have a singular there. To me, it would be plural. Wicked ways, right? How many wicked ways are there? Innumerable. Not just is there any wicked way in me. And then lead me. Yes, lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Spend some time in Psalm 139. It's so glorious, isn't it? Well, Father, we just thank you for these few moments. Just to pause a little bit and just to look again at your word and beyond our ability to comprehend very much, but we can comprehend some, and we just see your majesty and the magnitude of your love and your power, your protection, your being everywhere, your knowing everything, all-powerful, all-loving, and always righteous. Help us, Lord. Father, I want to just ask for help. I want to pray for our Congress. I think there's 12 more. I heard there were 12 more days of meeting before the next recess. And then following that, there will be the GOP conference, convention, whatever you call it, in Milwaukee. And I know that there are many spending bills that I know that the House is trying to get past, cutting back the waste and trying to provide funding for the things that are needed. We need your help, Lord. For the policy plank that will be developed in the convention there for the Republican Party, which is kind of the Bible for the party for the next year. Such an important document. And Lord, we need clarity and we need righteousness in that policy, Lord. Yes. And yet it's so divided over abortion and so many different things. And so, Lord, just pray for your will to be done, Lord. Yes. We know that the majority of the lawmakers are non-believers probably, but there are a lot of believers in there too. And so I just pray your will be done. I pray your truth will prevail. I thank you for Tony Perkins, Lord, who drafted much of the policy 4 years ago and as much as he could, of course, within parameters of what would be permitted. And I think his daily now on the Hill report, I think, is very interesting to get updates on these kinds of things. And Family Research Council taking such an active role in trying to do what can be done. And I thank you for Mike Pompeo, Lord. I know his heart and his desire to please you. Thank you for Mike Johnson, Lord, and his family. And I know that their desire is to please you. And I know, I believe anyway, that no decisions are being made without much prayer. And that is the best we can do. We have no majority from the political standpoint. But Lord, we know that one with you is a majority. So I thank you for the godly ones that are there and more. I haven't mentioned, I don't even know who they are, but you do. Yes. And so I do. I thank you for the prayer for the worldly leaders. And Lord, you have taught us and told us and commanded us to pray for kings and those in authority. So we do that. You died for every one of them. They're so far from you. And Lord, I can't help but think of the numbers are just so astounding. When I think of 8 billion people, I can't comprehend that. And I think of probably 160,000 to 180,000 people die every day, every day, every day. It's not just the wars are just a fraction of that. We don't like the wars. And I was reminded even with the Muslims, Lord, if there's 15 to 20% Muslims, that means there's between 20 and 30,000 Muslims dying every day, every day, every day, day in and day out. And how many of those know you? And not just the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and the vast majority, I guess, of that 8 billion people. So that's over 100,000 every day dying. And the numbers are just beyond what I can, I can't even comprehend that at all. But you know it all. Maybe 380,000 babies born every day. I can't think of all those new lives every day. So, Lord, as we think of your magnitude and we think of your awesomeness, we just, all I can say is we're just grateful and thank you that you know us and you died for us and you bought us with your blood. And help us to get that message out by our living, by our lives, and even using words when necessary, Lord. And help this group right here to be a light wherever we are as we have this wonderful opportunity each meet to gather here for an hour and focus on your word and hear from you and get our batteries charged a bit and maybe cleaned up a little bit of dialysis going on in our hearts, really. So, Lord, I thank you. So lead us now as we continue in this prayer in Jesus' name. Let's close the stand, if you will or can. And we know the last two verses of Psalm 139 are, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and what? Lead me in the way everlasting." So I thought we would just close with singing this hymn, "He leadeth me." He leadeth me as we have asked him, lead me in every way. Let's sing this together.
His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, where amid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me.
Father, we thank you this morning for again allowing us to gather in your name. We thank you for knowing us and knowing every thought we have ever thought or will think. And so be with us as we lead, as we say, lead me, you will, but may we follow you, Lord. Be with each one and may they be blessed because they came, and may we be a blessing to somebody today. And maybe even one or two of those who don't know you yet, maybe today is the day, and we pray for their salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.